Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday! I hope that you have had the most amazing week, because I'm sure, can count the many of times this week that we've had quite a time. But with that being said, I would like to welcome you if this is your first time tuning in, listening to Conversations with Toy. I am Toy the podcaster. I am also a content creator. I am what else do I do? I don't know, I just do a lot. But nonetheless, we're here and grateful, really, really grateful. I do not think that it was by accident that you stumbled upon this podcast whatsoever. This podcast that I am always looking for improvements, way to make the show that so much better, is to consider the fact that I'm going to talk about social media. I'm going to talk about all the things that are happening on these internet streets and so much more. This should be a space where you can gravitate to, where you can have patience with yourself and just learn and listen to other people, because that is what we do. And as we celebrate yet another Friday, yet another weekend, yet another podcast episode, this particular episode, I always try to give a preface if I believe that there is a trigger warning. And I will say that this particular episode, I'm going to go ahead and slap that trigger warning onto this episode, because we are going to be talking about ovarian cancer, cervical cancer. We're going to be talking about all the things, because it's extremely important that, one, we have a clear discussion about what these things are, how we can prevent them, and the story of Jessica Pettaway as she unfortunately has lost her battle, her life with it. And again, this is the reason why I'm slapping the warning on there. And again, anytime you're talking about death, anytime you're talking about the separation of one from their body and the front from their family, you want to make sure that you step and you tread lightly, because bigger than the conversation going on and actually making a difference is the fact that this conversation is going to go from small time to big time. We really want this story to go and reach who it is supposed to reach, which it is already going to do that and is doing, and it's already, it's going to do that. It's been doing that and it's going to take off. So that is why I'm using the preface of saying trigger warning. But before we get too deep into that conversation, I do want to talk about a few things, just a few things that I've been seeing that has taken place on these internet streets. I always try to bring stuff that makes sense, and some of the stuff just sometimes doesn't. And being in therapy, being, you know, having mental health issues, you will notice that things that just should not make sense, you'll gravitate, you'll see it, and you'll have to like make an answer or make a conversation behind it. And I would love to be able to say that so many things that I've seen or things that I've heard just all came all wrapped together with a solution and answer and all those things, but it just does not happen. It does not. So take it with a grain of salt, the things that I have witnessed throughout the week, especially this week, with a parent, a loved one, whomever, being an art. So without any further ado, let's get into these internet street conversations. But I almost forgot. Let's talk about this week just in general from a standpoint of not going into the conversation, not going in too deep, but just like the sleep patterns this week. You know, we have just stepped into spring, and I believe it's been about a week or so since many of us have experienced the daylight savings. Now, for daylight savings, it takes your body about 5 to 7 days for it to basically naturally come to a state where you're like kind of through it. You're past the whole losing the hour. You've gotten adjusted to the time difference and all of these things. While I was away at South by Southwest, I was basically, my losing an hour basically put me where I needed to already be. So it actually was worked out in my favor. So I didn't have to go through large adjustments. With that being still said, I still find that, again, things like, you know, trying to get rest, trying to do the right thing with the sunlight, because there has been longer sunlight, praise be. I've been going to a few media outlets and it has been so helpful, like extremely helpful, to know that I can at least get to where I need to be in full sunlight. That right there deserves a full stop, because listen, winter just be doing the most. And by the time the quote unquote winter time change switches, you know, a lot of us are super appreciative, especially if you have any form of anxiety, if you deal with some sort of depression, any of those things. Winter is just, it's just grueling. It's literally grueling and taxing on the body, the mind, and the spirit. So I'm extremely happy for the change of the season. I'm extremely happy for what is to come. I'm extremely ecstatic about, again, the processes that come with being in the springtime and just being able to, again, be myself, find that content, parking, and things like the media parking is just above all great. There's nothing says stress when you're already running late, you don't have parking, you're trying to find it out, and it's too dark to think. So on these internet streets, there's been quite a few things that's been buzzing around. The biggest situation and takeaway, obviously, is the death of Jessica Pettaway, of which I was a little disturbed, a little irritated by the fact that I had to kind of find all the things, do all the things, where I felt like I was doing it by myself. And what do I mean by that? No, I'm not the only person that's covering Jessica Pettaway, and nor will we be, will I be the last. Again, this conversation about, you know, making sure that you're healthy of sound mind as you're doing certain things does matter. And I find, in my personal of opinion, I have to keep saying that because somebody's going to try to challenge it, is you can't challenge my personal experience. And for me, I find that when you're talking about getting these heavy things, it's just easier to make sure that you, again, come with the tea, come with the facts, and make sure that you just, you know, discuss it. With all that being said, and us going into a new season and then having to readjust the schedule once again, because again, as you know, life be happening, and you got to be prepared. In addition to Jessica Pettaway, as I'm grateful that, again, we're struggling where people are getting the information that they need, but I am grateful that the information does increase. And I would say that if you have anything like this conversation that we're about to talk about and you have things like this, don't wait for people who have larger, quote unquote, larger accounts to make a difference. Like, sometimes the difference is going to come from you making calls. The difference is going to be from you sending out emails. The difference is going to be just from you doing the work. So don't be afraid of that. I've been around for a little while, and I know that when you start talking about sharing your story, being a light, using your story, people get so choked up because they're just like, I'm not ready to like take that on. And that's 100% true. But at some point, you're going to have to like level up. And this week has been teaching me that it's possible. It is possible to level up. It is possible to do the things that you need to do. And it is possible to try to have as much of it all that you can. I hate the pressure that we put on single women to be a certain thing. We want them to like do twirls, turn around, hop on one foot, and do all these different things. And I'm just like, really, why? What is our point in this? Some of this stuff becomes obsolete. Okay. So let's go ahead and get into this conversation. I really want to make sure that I do my due justice to get the story correct. Jessica Pettaway was a beautiful, amazing beauty influencer. And I'm not a beauty influencer. I am a lifestyle and mental health and wellness. So I'm going to talk about those things. Those things resonate with me. And so that's how the content started for me. But as a beauty influencer, which I feel like is one of the biggest, and I could be wrong, these are not based on real stats. These are just my personal observations. In my personal observations, I've discovered that, in my personal opinion, that a lot of beauty bloggers, influencers make up a huge portion, like a huge portion of those that are in the influencing space. Because to be basically an influencer, you have to be able to be someone who can, again, influence the culture in some way. And I feel like bloggers that started off as beauty influencers or beauty content creators are absolutely amazing. The time and skill set that it takes for them to edit all of those transitions from when they're doing makeup looks and just whatever the case may be, God bless, because that is definitely not something that I'm interested in, and I would not be okay. As I began to hear her story and the rumblings of what happened on social media, of course, it led me back to being thorough and checking out her story and just reading all the content and just understanding who she was as a person. She's absolutely beautifully stunning. She is someone who, again, grabs your attention and doesn't, you know, let go unless she needs to. And it's crazy to me to believe and to say or to accept the fact that we are talking about her in the present, yet in the past tense of state. It's not easy losing someone, no matter how old you are. And I feel like young people don't get enough credit. As I live in Philadelphia, there's 1,001 ways that people pass away and they have to give up their lives and things of that sort. And we don't give enough young people credit because of the things that they're going through. When I was personally growing up, I don't remember losing this many people at one given point, right? I just don't ever remember that. And so we need to just use a little bit of grace when we're talking about other people. But back to the story at hand. This story could have been preventable. Uterine cancer, as Jessica Pettaway had, ovarian cancer, is extremely preventable. And it takes really just focused on, again, finding a doctor that works best for you. And don't be afraid. I know that this is probably going to be a part of the wrap up and you're probably going to hear this again. You're going to be like, okay, we get it. We get it. But it's one of those things where you can't just leave certain things to chance. You know, whatever you get into, there's a way to come out, and you have to be willing to take that chance. You really should. But Jessica was a beautiful being, and her story, which I do believe will save so many people, is one that is real. If you have gotten or should have gotten, but didn't just quite yet, you haven't gotten your pap smear, you have not gotten your yearly test, you have not done the blood work that you need to do, I need you to focus on getting that. I believe one of the largest takeaways from when somebody passes is the lessons that they've left behind. And I know for a fact that she left lessons about being where we're supposed to be and being authentic in our own spaces. And I love that. I love that. But still, without even knowing her in a personal sense, is the fact that, again, when she left with an impact. And we are here talking about the impact as it becomes the focus of this podcast for this week, in that of you need to make appointments to make sure that you're okay. You need to have a special eyes on body, eyes on mindset, eyes on all the different things to begin to challenge yourself when things don't align and when you have to do stuff out the box, right? And Jessica began to share her story. I'm not sure how long it took between her sharing her story to her passing. And honestly, I'm not going to go there because I find that to be a little intrepid. I just find that to be crazy for me. But in the conversation that we need to have is that she left an impact in this world at such a small space of time. Ovarian cancer, cervical cancer is one of those cancers that if treated early can be completely avoided. You can save a life or two or three by being honest about where you are in your body and your journey, and also being able to verbalize the show by which everybody's now going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about Jessica in a beautiful way. And I hope that whatever you're listening to this, that you find peace in the fact that this can be avoided. How did this become misdiagnosed? How did we go from thinking that maybe she just has fibroids and that it's okay to continuously bleed heavy to discovering that we have a full-blown tumor that we can't really work around? How did we get to that place? So we need to, as women, go and get our yearly tests done. It's one of the most effective ways of discovering, do you have abnormal cells, what is happening with your body? I, in all full disclosure, have had a full hysterectomy, my personal stuff, because that's what made sense for me. There were things that I discovered in my health journey that honestly, it was a wake-up call. And it took a male OBGYN doctor, who literally saved my soul. I was taking and getting blood transfusion, which is the same type of thing that Jessica was getting, because after you lose so much blood, you have to try to find a way to replenish it in a quicker way that's going to also absorb in your body and then also not make you reject anything and just, look out for your health. And I remember many a times, having to sign up for whatever time slot and thinking you're going to be in it within an hour, and then you find that you're there for an hour and a half, you're there for 2 hours because you've lost so much blood. But having the test is going to be one very, very good defense mechanism to making sure that you have what it is that you need to have. It doesn't take 20 hours to get tested for it. Unfortunately, it's super quick and obviously can be done in the office. And it's necessary. It is necessary to discover, do you have abnormal cells? I remember the first time I found that I was having abnormal cells. This was years ago. I had to have been, I want to say, late 20s, maybe mid 20s. I don't know. But at the end of the day, the first time that I had it done, you know what? I might have been 19 or 20, maybe 20. And I'm going to tell you how I know. Because I also had dealt with heavy bleeding my entire life. Now, I had never actually heard of fibroids as much as I thought I had heard it. Like, I knew about my mom. She had a history of certain things. And I was like, oh, you know, I've never heard it. When I went to my doctor, they tested for certain things. They looked around. They didn't say anything. So I didn't really do a follow-up myself. And I feel like that not following up stuff, not getting a second opinion becomes a silent killer in our culture. It really does. This culture of keeping things amongst yourself and not speaking up about it is so real. But as I've personally have gotten my, you know, some abnormal test results, you know, you have to stick it through. You have to say, okay, what's my next step? And then go and doing it. I feel like sometimes we drop the ball. We know that we need to go do something for a next step, but we'll wait. We got it. And we find out a lot of times you don't. Jessica's story is going to help with that. So as she was misdiagnosed, she went to the emergency room because she was having this heavy bleeding. She discovered that, okay, this is happening. I don't understand what is going on. This is very stressful. So I'm going to do what I can do to just try to focus on getting past it and trying to figure out an answer. Let's flash forward to the fact that she ended up, after series of different tests, series of different things, discovering that she was like in stage 3 of ovarian cancer, uterine cancer. And I'm like, my God, the devastation. And she said, in her own words, that the devastation of her having the diagnosis of cancer was bigger than just hearing that she had it. It was everyone else's response to it in her family as she began to tell them what was happening. I mean, personally, as much as I want to be an independent woman, hear me roar, there are just certain things that I'm grateful for having a spouse that I can talk about those types of things, because when life hits, it doesn't care about what numbers you may have on your social media. And so as Jessica discovered this, as she's like coming into her own skin and trying to figure out what her next steps are, she is in a battle automatically without even a beginning to try that she didn't ask to be in. Like, she's already automatically in a full-fledged battle, because you're going to be fighting with your body to, one, figure out what we need to do to stay healthy. How do we keep ourselves here? What is all the things that we should do? And stage 3, you know, anything you can happen. You can have a Christmas miracle that comes out of the middle of nowhere and can literally save your soul. But to know that, again, by the time she began to exercise and walk in what was now her truth and finding out answers, she was in stage 3 of that said cancer. So I want us to encourage ourselves to take care of ourselves. Please get a pap smear. Please get your mammogram done. If you are of the age and there are family members who are of the age of having colonoscopies done, I need you to go ahead and get it done. When I was at South by Southwest, there was a young lady who was like 30, I'd say between the ages of like 34 and 36, who, again, didn't make sense for her to even have to consider colon cancer. But she discovered that she did have it. And again, you know, they're trying to lower the rate. And you know what the rate issue is that the insurance company are trying to always find a way that they don't have to pay for something, right? And so I need you to take care of yourself. If you haven't had any of those series of tests done and you know that that's something that you need to do, and FYI, if you are in your body and you know that you need to have it done, I need you to go ahead and stop what you're doing, even placing this podcast on pause, picking up the phone or signing in, whatever you have to do to make these appointments work. It is absolutely nothing wrong with taking care of you. It's not nothing wrong with taking that step out. And I believe that Jessica's story is going to inspire several generations to think about the fact that the misdiagnosis happened. What could have been prevented to make that become a reality? Do you know how many times doctors are fighting with that misinformation? But the also other part is that we don't speak up. We should be talking on a regular basis about things that happen in our body. And the one place you should be able to tell the truth about all the things is going to be, you know, at the doctor's office. You never lie to your doctor's office. You never lie and give them this story that sounds good. You have to make sure that everything is on the up and up. So take care of of you. Set those appointments. Set this episode on pause. Go ahead and make those appointments. Go ahead and make them. Make sure that they are positioned in places and times that it doesn't conflict with other things, but take care of you. Who do you think is going to be here to take care of you if you're not here? Nobody. And I've learned, and I'm learning that quite often, the fact that you believe that you can contact or be in communication with someone else and then discover like, no. But Jessica's story, being the fact that she's a wife, being the fact that she's so young, being the fact that, again, she's having to change, she's having to adjust, she's having to find to navigate these new spaces alone. And I can't even imagine the pain that her family is going through. I cannot begin to imagine the pain that her parents have watched as they seen her endure the ups and downs of life on top of being in this, you know, in the scene. Losing yourself and not taking care of yourself becomes almost hand in hand. If you lose yourself, you're not going to take care of yourself. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you will eventually lose yourself, because it's a hard work out here just to maintain the little bit that you got. Even if you are a young man in this, and you're listening to this podcast and you're saying to yourself, well, there's no reason for me to have a pap smear. I understand that. But if there's a woman in your life that you care about, that you love, I want you to remind them to get this done. It is important. Is life-saving. And sometimes when you catch these things early enough, you can do other preventative things other than, unfortunately, losing your battle with the situation. And my heart goes out to her husband and her two young daughters. Every time I go to her page, I go on her Instagram and I start looking at different things. I'm like, my God, what impact am I leaving? Like, it stirred such a move inside of me when I kept watching her story and I kept seeing beautiful people cover it. And I kept seeing news outlets cover it. I personally also made sure that I did the my due justice to contact any contacts that I have that I know should be covering this story, but wasn't. And I sent emails like, hey, what are we doing? Like, let's get this together. Let's make sure that we're in the know, and let's make sure that we do the coverage, because what I can't always reach everybody, but as it gets spread and people begin to share it, that's how information, and in this particular situation, important information needs to be spread. Y'all will spread a fight on internet. You will spread, you know, infidelity of a person and their whole life be on the line, and you'll sit there and talk about it and break it piece by piece, brick by brick. But I need us to do the same thing, have the same energy when it comes to things like our health and the boundaries that we, at this point, you ain't going to set. But we need to talk about ways in which we can show up for one another and build community. So share this particular episode, because it's not about me. I don't, you know, that's great about me, but it's about making sure people understand that Jessica did not have to have her life, didn't have to be in vain. And that if she couldn't save herself, that maybe because of her voice, that we can save a lot more other women, that they can step up to the plate and become all the things that they need to become in the situation. So my heart goes out to her husband. My heart goes out to her two children. And again, I want us here that remain those who have the ability, the power to make the change in their own lives that they want to see. I need us to be more vigilant about how we take care of ourselves and how we show up in different spaces. And I want us to make sure that we get all of our tests done. And I personally have had all of my tests, except for the colonoscopy, of which I do need to get, because I do have a family member that's extremely close to me that has had a history of it. And I want to make sure that I am not doing the same thing by not taking care of myself. The reason why the misdiagnosis happened with, in my whole heart, is that one, there is definitely a social and economic strain in the medical field when it comes to Black and brown bodies. And the fact that, again, no matter how much we want to act as if that didn't happen, so many people say you make everything about race, but the reality of it is that there's so many things that are affected by not taking care of yourself in this aspect. So let's do better. Let's find a way. Let's make sure that we're crossing all of our things off our list and that we are actually taking care of us. Your body does matter. You need to be vigilant about that. Like, what can you do to make a situation that's already trying even more better? I think about that constantly. Now, I got my period as a young girl, and I know this may be personal, but I did get my period, my first menstrual, when I was young and my early, like, beginning of teenager phase. And one of the things that I recognized straight off the bat was that I was having heavy bleeding from the very first period that I ever had. And I thought, you know, and even with my mom, she just kind of chalked it up to, again, like, oh, you know, you're just first period. You have, your body needs time to regulate. And she's not wrong. Your period when you first start doesn't come on time. Sometimes you'll skip months. You're not really on a schedule, all the different things. But I was having heavy bleeding from the very beginning. I, one thing, have learned about since becoming older and things before I had my full-blown hysterectomy, which again was life-saving for me, was that heavy bleeding is something that we need to stop acting as if it's normal. And we have to stop acting like if you have this heavy bleeding, that, you know, it'll be okay. Like, your body is just, you know, it's just renewing itself every month. Yes, it's renewing itself every month, but we're not meant to bleed as heavy as I know I personally was. And the way that Jessica describes the blood that she had coming out of her body and the things that she was going through after she went and asked several questions, went to go get to doctor's appointments and had things looked at, there has to come a point where we have to stop telling women that bleeding heavy is a part of a normal cycle. It's not. That's the one thing I learned after the fact. I grew up because my first one was so heavy, because I had went to my mom and I'm like, hey, this is happening. And because I had went to my doctors, several of them from a teenager on, that I was told the same thing. You know, heavy bleeding is just normal. I was never told that I had fibroids. I was never told that these are the reasons as to why it was. I think the most disheartening thing for me, because as a Black woman, because we know there's so much disparity in the medical field, is the fact that I even had a Black OBGYN and that still did not necessarily assist me in my own personal decision, which led me to having to have a full hysterectomy, was the fact that, again, nobody caught and said, oh, you know, this heavy bleeding, we should kind of look at it. Like, I've had things happen, like little things that were done to kind of stop the bleeding at a certain point. But when the bleeding kept going, there was no like, let's dig deeper. And that's the same thing that happened with Jessica. There was no, let's dig deeper. There was no, let me look into something a little bit differently. It was just a matter of, you might have fibroids and this is the cause of it. And it's like, what? I'm just supposed to bleed like this? I'm supposed to just bleed out. I'm supposed to, like, you know, we want to go and iron transfusion people multiple times. I was doing this while I was pregnant because I had lost so much blood and I was pregnant by this point, right? Jessica wasn't pregnant. She'd already had two children. She was experiencing these high levels of bleeding and there was no answer. There was nothing that made sense outside of saying, well, it must be fibroids. Even if it was, let's say that it was fibroids, heavy bleeding, we need to figure out a way. We need to figure out and dig deeper. And I say that because, again, if I grew up thinking that heavy bleeding was a part of the normal everyday life, maybe you're listening to it and said, maybe you think the same thing. Well, this is just a part of the process. It's actually not. It's actually not. You have to go get seen. You need to find out the answer and dig deep. Get some second opinions. Trust your gut. Because Jessica said multiple times, like, just the stuff wasn't adding up. It wasn't making sense. It just wasn't making sense. And as she began to advocate for herself, it wasn't that she didn't advocate for herself. She began to advocate for herself. It's the disparity in the medical field that became the biggest culprit in her misdiagnosis and her mishandling of her health crisis. You know, again, when you go to the ER and you're saying, oh, I'm bleeding, I'm having this issue, they're trying to stop the blood. Like, that's it. If there's no, like, we just need to stop the bleeding before we can even treat and find out what's happening. We just want to stop it. And I find that, again, that's a band-aid, because although you might want to stop the bleeding, which you should want to stop the bleeding, it's about finding out the answers. Why is this happening? What can we do? And that is where the ball was dropped in Jessica's story. That's where it dropped. And so by the time she began to push and got a push and pull spirit and everything's going back and forth, all these things for things that happen, and she is in stage three, right? Oh my God, stage three. So please hear me. I'm not saying this just because it's the conversation of the week, although it is. It's the conversation of the week because we know so many, so often, especially as a Black woman, that we will be misdiagnosed. We won't be believed. The doctors believe we have a higher threshold for pain. That's just what they believe. They believe that if we ask for medication, if we're asking for second opinions, if we're asking for this different level, it's one, because we don't trust them and we don't believe that they're capable of doing their job, which has nothing to do with them personally. And that, again, that whatever it is that we have going on in our body, that, again, these are things that are just simply supposed to be, and it's not. So let's take care of each other. Let's be our good steward of our bodies. In addition to Jessica's story, it's just been a week for me. I have been noticing in my own personal life. So I just want to talk about my week a little more in depth, and the fact that one of the things that I've been noticing is like my inability to stay awake for long periods of time. I've talked to my doctor about this. I actually just saw my doctor. I literally just had all of my tests done. For anyone weren't concerned, like, oh, you're telling everybody else to go get checked. What about you? I have gone and saw all of the things. I did everything at the top of the year. Let me tell you something. I am that parent that will sit up there. I'm on schedule when it comes to my children, and I take myself as the same level. I know plenty of moms who don't. They are will get their kids all squared away. They will make sure their kids have eye doctor's appointments. They'll make sure their kids do all these different things. But when it comes to them, they put themselves last. No. I make sure that I can take care of me, because as much as I love making sure that my kids are good, they won't be good if I'm not good. And I can't do anything to help anybody else if I don't take care of myself. So I have been taking care of myself, but I had talked to my doctor about this lack of like sitting on the couch and just straight fall asleep. Fall asleep for no reason, no rhyme or reason. Just sitting still for 2 seconds. Now, granted, I do quite a few things during one given day, and so it's nothing wrong with being tired, but just the excessiveness of like even recording this podcast, I had to take so many times, like take a break, come back, take a break, take a break. And working with my doctor on ways that we can work through that and figuring out how to get my energy levels up, how to increase certain vitamins in my food and the things that I'm eating, and just taking care of myself in general. So that is what I've been noticing with myself. And this is like an extension of the doctor's appointments that I've had for this year. The one thing I got to do is get a colonoscopy, because I am of the age of having to have one, but also more in depth is the fact that I have family history. So I need to work on that. And I will be making sure that I make those appointments this week for that colonoscopy. But all the other things I've had fully done, completely done. Mammogram, OBGYN, all those things, had everything done. But this week has been very interesting. I had to shift my schedule. And for parents, you just know, for the Uber parents, the parents that feel like they spend more time in their car than they even probably spend more in their house, that would be me. And so my kids are now is transitioning to every child has somewhere they need to be during a given time. So now my Tuesdays and Thursdays are occupied. They are pretty much occupied with Ubering. And I mean that in the most eloquent way I could say it. Like, I am an Uber parent at this point. And so now we're driving around, dropping off, picking up, staying in certain spaces, and it's just been stressful and trying to navigate that space. I had therapy this week, and one of the things that I can share about my personal therapy session was the fact that when you have to adjust for your family, I didn't realize until I talked to my therapist this week was, when I was a stay-at-home mom, I felt like I was one of the best stay-at-home moms possible. If there was like a trophy for it, I probably had it, because I did a lot to make sure that my kids had the different things that they needed. When you're a stay-at-home parent and you're just in the house with your kids, you want your kids to learn how to interact with other people. So I did like the mommy and me dance classes and the music classes and we interacted with other people. We did the reading classes and all the reading things at like the Barnes and Nobles, and we just did all of these different things. Tuesdays and Thursdays was our little field trip day where we would go on field trips throughout the city. We would go to different events, most of them free, and we would just get out. We went to Gymboree. I mean, we did all of the things, and I sit back sometimes and I'm like, my goodness, I don't even think I realize sometimes, until I went to therapy this week, of all the things that I was able to accomplish with my babies at a very young age. But when you're a stay-at-home parent, and you're the primary caregiver, it's a lot on your plate, it's a lot on your shoulder. And I realized that as my kids got older, it allowed me obviously to do more. But I also like switched the reins a little bit, which I didn't realize until I was in therapy, that when my husband, he was able to build his career while I was a stay-at-home parent. And this is not uncommon. Like, this is absolutely not uncommon for stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads to say, like, their partner is out there killing in the game. They're rising above all the things. They are climbing the corporate ladder, and you're at home trying to keep the diapers from, being too caught up in the genie pal. And as he was doing that, and my career had to take a step back, my career had to be on pause. I would say that some people have this resentment, but that's not really what I want to talk about, because that does happen. But When I discovered, once he like got settled, like when his career like got to the point where I'm like, okay, you're good, and the blog took place and I started really getting out, and you know, if you follow me, I'm out in these streets quite often. I honestly believe subconsciously, and I talked about this in my ther with therapy, it came up, like we went into the conversation and discovered it. I kind of like turned the reins over to him when it came to my kids. I'm still 100% one of those hands-on moms, right? I am the one that you can count on in here to make sure all the things are done with lunches and all these different things. But when it came to like the kids having to be different places, I was like, listen, like that's you need to figure that out. 'Cause I would be out, I would be doing me, I would be doing the blog things, I would be at events, I would be invited to different things. And so that's what I focused on. And I finally heard or seen it in like 3D for me, like emotionally saw it for in 3D, that I was just like at the point where I had was like kind of over it. I had done, like I had did my shift, and now it's your turn. I'm tagging you in. And so now that we have, you know, the third child that now is involved in different things, I felt like, okay, let me make sure that I shelter some of this responsibility. Let me make sure that I do my part, because my kids are going to still need me to tag in. Like I still have to make sure with him, with my husband as well, that we do a good job of balancing out who's taking what where. But I ain't gonna lie, for a little bit, nah, if somebody had to be at basketball and I had to be at an event, then it was up to my husband to figure that out. It was like, I'm gonna be over here. And I subconsciously did that because I felt like I had already done my shift. I had done all of the things. I was up late at night, and my husband was there too. Like, let me not get this twisted. My husband is not like some of these men who don't change diapers, can't come home and cook, won't come home and do certain things because they're a stay-at-home wife, supposed to have it all taken care of. That's not who my husband is. He was extremely and still is an extremely hands-on father. But you know, again, I used to take the stance of, well, you know, I'm the stay-at-home mom, so he needs to be hitting his rest so he can get ready for work and things like that. And although my husband still stepped in and he disregarded a lot of times, I'd be like, no, I got it, I got it. He would still step in. You know, the responsibility of those things were on me. And yeah, I had shifted that gear. I was like, here's your turn. You tag in and you do that. And I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that per se. It was just effect of trying to find out what was the balance for me. So now I'm back on to stepping in a little bit more, because now there's no physical way that one person can get three people to their destination. I'm going to be honest. Now, every time there's somebody has to be somewhere, they have to be somewhere now within 30 minutes of each other, and they are all over the city. Like, it's crazy how much time we spend in the car. And so now we are splitting that. We are back to splitting that. Those goals, they have to be split. Like there are two of us and we need two cars. We need to have be on our way. So we're out there in these streets balancing it. A couple times last week, I think the one day I had all three, and that was a lot. I was like, my God. You know, it was easier when you only had two people that had to be somewhere, and the third just kind of became the tag along kid. But now you have three people that have to be somewhere. One day we didn't get home. I was in my car from like 2 o'clock. I didn't get out of my car again till like 9:30 when it was all said and done. That's a long time to be out here running somebody to and fro, making sure people had dinner in between. It's a lot. So I say all of that to say that has been my struggle these last couple of weeks, and we still don't really have it down packed. And I don't think we ever will. I think it's every day we kind of like do our little parental huddle, and we figure out what's best for the day. And that's kind of where we're at. We're taking it day by day, moment by moment, because that's all that we can do. And that's really been my flow. That's been the flow of, you know, this week, because that's the reality of where my life is right now. Therapy has meant the world to me, and this last couple of weeks have been so highlighting, so eye-opening. I'm realizing the power of my own voice. I'm realizing the power of the like, taking care of myself, and I mean that in every aspect of the word. Like making sure that I take responsibility for my own emotional health has been something that has like, it almost like it's like putting fuel in my gas tank, and it's been pushing and keeping the car going and keeping me focused on what it is that makes me me. And I have had these little I don't even want to call them selfish moments. I feel like they're enriching moments, because for me to take care of me will make me a better parent. For me to take care of me and focus on the things that I need also makes me a better partner, because I don't have to rely on my husband to take care of all the reins when it comes to like all the emotional things. You know, when you become emotionally overwhelmed, especially with somebody like myself who deals with anxiety, sometimes just because it's so much easier, you'll just blindly turn over everything to your partner because they seem to be more stable than you. They don't really have as many ups and downs as you. You just rely on them, just pass it to them. You know, just you'll take care of it. And I had to like take that back, like, wait a minute. I come to this situation as an individual. We work together as a collective, but I've got to be able to have my own voice. I've got to take my power back, and I've got to be able to walk and do this thing on my own. I'm not saying that I can't ever rely on you. Like, I can't trust that you're going to take my best interest at heart, because that's a lie. My husband's going to make sure that he does all the things and make sure that I'm good. But in the same breath, yeah, I got to make sure I take some of those reins, some of those things that I am needing for me to just make sure that I, you know, I'm good. And I'm okay with that. Truly and just truly good with that. Since we've last had this episode from last week to this week, we have now full-fledgedly stepped into spring, and I can feel my personality coming back. Like, I can feel Toy is coming in. I can feel like my energy levels coming up outside of me falling asleep on the couch. I can feel the joy coming back in my spirit. I can feel like the shedding of all of the things that have gone and have happened and all the things. And I am loving that feeling. I really am. I am loving that feeling. However, this weather has not been on the most cooperative. Like, the fact that we're still dealing with 50 and 60 degree weather is really like, it's starting to take its toll. Because I'm like, when is the good weather going to come back? Like, when are we going to have like that good, peaceful weather? Because right now we ain't seeing it. We're not experiencing it whatsoever. And the struggle is real. So that's kind of where my thought process has been. And I'm hoping that this good spring weather will hit at some given point, because we sure could use it. But spring is here. And with spring, that means we come to renew ourselves. I said the shedding of like the emotions, but because I dealt with, and many people like myself dealt with seasonal depression, it's like opening the blinds. We cleaned this house, me, my husband, my family, we cleaned this house last weekend, because of course the spring comes, you want to do that good spring cleaning. And so that's what we did. We did a lot of good spring cleaning and making sure that we took care of all the things, which also in itself helped to lift my spirits as well. Because when you come home and the house is already clean, you ain't got to really do too much work, and you can kind of see all the things and everything is in its proper place. For me, mentally, having things in its proper place is just like, it helps, and mentally and emotionally. So I'm excited. I love the fact. Now let's not get this twisted. It was a lot. Like, we were throwing out things, shifting things, all kinds of things. So the fact that we're now at the place, and we're now at the position that we are now in, that, you know, everything is in this place. We've cleaned up some things. We've got rid of some things. We gave away a lot of things too. And I'm a firm believer, and this could be because of my lifestyle as a kid, is like, we were in shelters at one point. And so, you know, people would give you all kind of stuff. I'm of the mindset that if you give away something, make sure you give everything that you give away is in good condition. Like, don't give away no junk just because you want to get it out of your space, that you just give away any old type of thing. Like, when you give something away, make sure that it was something that if you did or could use it and it was in its right space and timing, that you would want to give it. Just, that's a little sidebar, just a 5-second sidebar for those who are listening, just to think about. But spring has sprung. I need the weather to kind of match it. It's like people who have these BBLs and they have the behind, but the thighs don't match. That's kind of how I'm feeling right now with this weather. Like, the thighs are not matching, and I'm waiting for the thighs to get back into subjection. Like, I don't know if you got to go back underneath the knife. I don't know what people do with these BBLs, because that's not something that's for me. Good for y'all, for those who are doing it and you are feeling good about the way you look, because it's your body that you got to carry. I don't got to carry it for you. But it's like the thighs just that don't match. And so the weather has to align at some point. I'm looking forward to that. We did experience a few like warmer days at the beginning. This is right before spring hit. But soon as spring came, it was like third winter. It's been freezing. Like, I'm going to see Frozen today, because the Frozen is at the, not the Kimmel. It used to be the Kimmel Center, but it's at Ensemble Philly Arts, and which is used to be the Kimmel Center, the Kimmel Cultural Center. And I feel like Elsa, like as soon as they announced it, it's like almost like Elsa just left her match. I'm gonna need us to unthaw to thaw at some point and get this weather together. But I will be seeing Frozen, and I will be doing a review, and that'll be on the blog. If you're not following me on there, please do so. Like I said, I am a podcaster, a blogger, a content creator. I feel like a mental health advocate, and what that means is that I'm gonna come to the table and sit with those who are making decisions and make sure that voices are heard, that concerns are on the table. And that is what I do, and I enjoy that. But yeah, that is the episode for this week. Jessica is the focus. Jessica's story is the focus. Taking Jessica's story from listening ears to moving feet to being comprehensive about your health, to making sure that you get the test, to make sure that you get second opinions. I'm just going to tell you right now, getting a second opinion is going to be something that could be life-saving. It literally saved me when I had found out I had a blood clot in my brain while I was pregnant with my third child. And the health scare that that caused, and the concern, and the way that I was handled throughout that process, for the most part, was okay until it was not. And at the very end, even though I had a team, I had to be on Lovenox, which for those who know, is like a blood thinner. But I had to give myself a shot, and you had to keep getting blood work and making sure that you're in levels, right? And when you weren't in levels, they would increase or decrease the amount of medicine that you gave the shot of, right? So this happened 2 times a day, but the testing happened 3 days a week. Okay, on top of it being seen by the doctor every week, on top of also having have a blood transfusion every week. Honestly, I don't even know how it worked during that season, but somehow I did. And when I came home from the hospital, my husband brought me home, and we can talk about some things that happened with that a little later on in another episode. But what I do know is that when I came home, my son was so excited to see me, he was so excited to have his mom home, that he kind of like leaped into my arms. Well, I had my third C-section, and if you can imagine a 2-year-old, heavy 2-year-old jumping on you, it's not good. So I had all this internal bleeding. I ended up going back into the doctors. I ended up having to, again, have blood. Had to have blood then at that point. And it went from an iron transfusion to an actual blood transfusion. And I remember during that time having my husband saying, like, they just wasn't giving him any of the answers, and they just kind of were like nonchalant about it, like almost letting the pool of blood just kind of letting it sit. And I remember him having to call a friend of mine who had just become a doctor, and having her walk him through what to tell my doctor for them to see the validity of that. And I tell you, every time I see a movie of a black mother almost losing their life behind childbirth in some way, I can't see it without breaking down, like completely breaking down crying. Because if my husband didn't have a we didn't have a friend who happened to be a doctor, where would I be right now? As I sat there in a pool of blood, they might have found out after the fact, like they did with Jessica, that there would need to be more. I remember even getting, after having this traumatic situation, I'm in ICU. I need to stress that. I was in the ICU, and they were wheeling me down to get an MRI or a CAT scan or whatever they needed to do. I believe it was like a CAT scan. And the technician was like, "Okay, so can you get up and walk to the table?" And I'm like, "Excuse me, ma'am. I'm sorry. What? I can't walk. I'm confusion." And it's little microaggressions that happen like that in the medical field that irritate me, they infuriate me, but it's real. Everybody don't have a doctor friend that they can call and say, "Hey, what should I tell my doctor that's here right now, who has all the power to take care of me right now, to save them from a phone?" Like, if that phone call hadn't happened, I don't know what would have happened. My husband might have been raising 3 babies on his own, just like so many men have had to do because their partner has not made it through the childbirth process. So I say that with all sincerity, that this is not an isolated situation. Jessica's story is not isolated. My story is unfortunately not isolated. The many of the women who have passed and gone on are not isolated. And if we don't stand up, and if we don't use our voice, and if we don't speak and scream it from the mountaintops, we're going to lose a lot more women. If you are living here in the Delaware County, in Philadelphia, I am going to put in the show notes for Maternal Health Week, which is coming up in April. There is a series that we're going to watch a movie, which is going to be very daunting. And y'all say my prayers for me because I don't know how I'm going to get through that movie, but it's going to be a movie that is going to be a shell shock. And that's the point about the maternal Black health. And I want you to, it's free. I want you to go ahead and get your tickets for that. It's absolutely free here. And I'll have the date. I'll have all the information that you need. And even if you don't live in a Delaware County and AKA Philadelphia, if you can just go into the show notes and get the copy of it and spread it, I'm going to continuously spread it across my social medias so that we can get as many people in there. You're going to hear stories from other doctors and advocates about Black maternal health. And you're also going to be able to get resources for you here in the Delaware, Philadelphia area. So do that. I'm also going to include some of the doctors that I really do, I do honor and respect, and that's going to be Dr. Jessica Shepherd. She just happened to have the same name as Jessica Pettaway, but she is one of those doctors. She is from the Dallas area, from the Austin area, Dallas area, and had an opportunity to see her at South by Southwest. I really respect her. I respect the work that she does. I respected her way before I even got there. She is a part of She Media as well as Flow, which is another subsidiary of She Media. And while we were there at South by Southwest, they talked a lot about women's health, about, you know, going getting your mammograms. They talked about menopause and they did all these different things. And so she is an OBGYN doctor and she has made her own statements. I'm going to put the links for both of her statements. I think both of these statements together are absolutely powerful. So I want you to go back and rewatch the videos that she made because there's so many better tips that even I can give that came from directly from a doctor that I really do respect in her field. So I'm going to put all of that in the show notes. I know it's going to be quite heavy and the show notes is going to have a lot of resources for you, but it is my honor to make sure that I can give you everything that I can possibly give you so that you feel more equipped to have the answers for you, for your body, to ask your doctor. Sometimes that means going above your doctor and getting a second opinion. And I know sometimes that's hard because, you know, that may be a cost to you. That may be hard because you don't know who to then ask. But I need you to go ahead and do whatever you have to do. If that means calling your insurance company and letting them know, like, this is what's happening. I need to have this happen. I have sat on the phone with my insurance company many a times and gone over the things that I may need. And I want you to do the same because your health is important. And I want you to be here for your future. I want you to be here for your present. I want you to make sure the people that you love and trust and you want to be here with, they have every ounce of support behind them. So today's show notes is going to be really heavy, but it's going to have a lot of resources for all. It doesn't matter. Some of them are going to be Philadelphia oriented, but some of them are just going to be general things that you could just apply and then figure all your things out for wherever you may live, wherever part in the world you are, wherever part of the country you are. So please take this and take Jessica Pettaway's story as something that you can apply and make sure that you don't just apply because it's the end story for right now. This is for your life. This is for your life, right? Don't let the mother of those two beautiful girls' life go be in vain. I don't want that to happen for anybody. We honor and we send our condolences to Jessica Pettaway's family, her daughter, her two daughters, her husband, and the family and friends that I'm sure she's touched. Those influencers and the people who've ever watched her video, ever had those moments that they just leaned into her. I send love and my condolences and my prayers to everybody who's had any form of contact. Some people's first contact is going to be the story of her devastating life. And even that's okay. It's not okay that it happened, but now that we're here, we want to make sure that we use it for the best possible way. And that's to encourage other people to get the help that they sure enough will need. Thank you for tuning into this episode this week. I know this was a little heavier than normal, but again, that's why I gave the trigger warning because it's important to me that we just be honest about these spaces that we're in. And again, my goal, my prayer for anyone that's listening is that we become healthier, that we become more inclined to take care of ourselves and do the things that we need to do. Because not taking care of ourselves, mental health that's going to bring upon them little girl's lives and her husband's lives is going to be felt for years and decades to come. But we also want to make sure that we have saved some lives of some other people who may be in the same boat and don't even know it. You know, sometimes we don't go to doctors because we don't want to know and we feel like what we don't know won't kill us. That could be the most furthest lie, because what you don't know could hurt you. But I want you to be empowered. Like, that means empower yourself, equip yourself with everything that you need to make the best decision for your health. I send love to you. I send care to you. And I hope that you have the most amazing week. Now, you know what we're going to say. I know that the weekend causes you to catch up on chores. I know you go and grocery shop. I know you do your Target runs, because that's what I'm going to do as well. But with addition to that, I want us to take care of ourselves a little bit better when we're taking care of the things that we need for our lives, because we need that. We really do. So all the love to you. Have the most amazing week. And do one thing for yourself while you're running all these errands. Take the time to read a book. Get outside and get some fresh air, whatever you need to do. But take care of yourself. I love you. We'll be back next week with another episode of Conversations with Toy.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.